There is one body and one spirit, and we are called to one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. World Communion Sunday began last night as many of us were going to bed. Asian Christians shared the bread and wine. Churches in China met in secret so they would not be arrested. In the Middle East, in Europe, in Africa, the sacrament was celebrated. Welcome to Prairie Street Mennonite Church, Upland, Indiana. Elkhart, Indiana. I'm reverting to my childhood here. Today, we gather at the table with no edges. We share one loaf in Christ's name in one world. So I invite you to rise, take your hymnal, find 397, and celebrate that God loves all his many people. Communion Sunday was established by the Presbyterian Church in 1936 and was originally called Worldwide Communion Sunday. This day calls us to remember that when we gather at the table, we celebrate not only with this body present here today, but with sisters and brothers around the world. So with this in mind, let us pray this blessing written by Jan Richardson. A blessing for World Communion Sunday. And the table will be wide, and the welcome will be wide, and the arms will open wide to gather us in. And our hearts will open wide to receive. And we will come as children who trust there is enough. And we will come unhindered and free. And we will open our hands to the feast without shame. And we will turn toward each other without fear. And we will give up our appetite for despair. And we will taste and know of delight. And then we will become bread for a hungering world. And we will become drink for those who thirst. And the blessed will become the blessing. And everywhere will be the feast. May it be so. Amen. And now take your blue hymnal and turn to 116. Crown him with many crowns.
Would you please stand, those who are able? In Sing the Journey, number 85, Sing the Journey, the Green Songbook, number 85, Pan de Vida.
Thank you.
Porque Dios es amor. In confession, we open space for the Spirit. We open space to meet God where we are small and we are weak. And we can only do this if we dare to trust God's love and if we dare and desire a place of new wholeness, new oneness with the body of Christ. Let us pray. God of grace, we grieve that the church which shares one spirit, one faith, one hope, one calling, has become a broken communion in a broken world. The one body spans all time, place, race, and language. But in our fear, we have often fled from and fought one another. And in our pride, we have often mistaken our part for the whole. Yet we marvel that you gather the pieces to do your work, and you still bless us with joy, with growth, and with signs of unity. Forgive our sins as we commit ourselves to seeking and showing the unity in the body of Christ. In his name, amen. And now, sisters and brothers, I invite you to rise in body or in spirit for these words of assurance. Persistently, patiently, lovingly, God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, pours grace, mercy, and joy into our lives, healing brokenness, forgiving sin through Jesus Christ our Lord. So let us now share Christ's peace with the world, saying, may the peace of Christ be with you, and responding,
and
now, children, it's your time to come forward, and Pastor Nelson has a story today.
Down here. Well, very good morning to each of you. And the first thing we do when we come together is we bring our tithes and offerings. And the offerings we give today are going for pedal power for the bicycle organization that's right next door here, and it helps get bicycles for people like you and me and others in the neighborhood that need bikes. So if you have an offering, put that in. If not, just put your hand on it and bless it as it goes by. Today we're going to talk about something that was on Jesus' mind in the very last minutes and hours and minutes of his time on earth. You remember Jesus was crucified, and he died for our sins, and he died because he was going to love his enemies instead of fight back at them. But God cared so much about Jesus that God raised him from the dead. And then for 40 days, Jesus went all over the Palestine, Israel. He went all over that area, and he went preaching and teaching the good news of the kingdom of God. That means that God loves us. And I want to see if you can look around and see Jesus anywhere in the room today. Just look around. You have to look a little further. You might have to just look. You might have to stand up to look. Just stand up and look around. You see Jesus? Do you see Jesus anywhere? And so Jesus, take a look at him. You see him back there? Jesus went preaching and teaching, and he went blessing people. For 40 days, he went all over Galilee and Judea and Samaria, and he loved people, and he told them all about God's love, and maybe he'll come and bless us. He looks a lot like somebody we know, doesn't he? Yeah. 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 And then Jesus went up on the Mount of Olives. And before he goes up there, can you bless these people too, Jesus? And then we are going to need a cloud. So we've got a cloud arranged here. Now, I don't know if you ever saw a square cloud, but this is a cloud. This where I'm seated right now is the Mount of the Mount of Olives. It's a mountain right next to Jerusalem, and Jesus went up there to teach. And this is the last teaching that Jesus did while he was on earth. And it's very important what Jesus said during this time, because he gave his disciples an assignment. And it's an assignment that he gave to the first disciples, followers like you, an assignment that he gave to all of us. So let's watch as Jesus goes up on the Mount of Olives. And Jesus goes up there, and he's teaching his disciples, and they're gathered there, and he's telling them, they're asking him questions about the end of time, and is this the time that you're going to bring the end of the world? And Jesus said, don't worry about all that stuff. But what I want you to do is, he said, I want you to go back into Jerusalem, the city right next door, and I want you to wait there until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon a person, it means that the power of God comes on them. You feel and you know the power of God in you, and you have courage and strength to do things you wouldn't do before. And Jesus said, I want you to go back into Jerusalem, and you wait there until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then I want you to be my witnesses. I want you to tell other people about my love and God's love in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And the ends of the earth means all the way to Elkhart. And Jesus told the disciples about God's love, and then they told other people, and those people told others, and 2,000 years later, somebody told us in Elkhart. And while Jesus was giving them this very big assignment to go into all the world, a cloud came and enveloped him. And Jesus was taken up, and he was taken up into heaven, and he disappeared from their eyes. He disappeared from their sight, and he was gone. And the disciples went into Jerusalem, and they waited there. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And one of the things that happened when the Holy Spirit came upon them was they could speak other languages. They could learn other languages, or they just knew other languages, and they could tell God's love in Arabic and Swahili and whatever the languages were. And so they had the ability to take this good news to other parts of the world. Now, there's people in this room that have taken the gospel to the other parts of the world. If there's anybody here who has worked in sharing the good news of Jesus in some other part of the world, raise your hand. Look at all the people here. Look at all these people. And if there's anybody who's worked at sharing the good news of Jesus in Elkhart County, raise your hand. Yeah, all those people. And you too are part of God's sharing God's love. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that you sent us Jesus to show us your love and to show us the way to restored relationship with you. Teach us how to share that love with others. We know. Bless these children now today in the name of Jesus. Amen. You can go back to your seats.
Our scripture reading today is from Paul's letter to the Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. And just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves, from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit.
Colosenses, capítulo 1, versículo del 1 al 14. Yo, Pablo, apóstol de Jesucristo por voluntad de Dios, y el hermano Timoteo, a los santos y fieles hermanos en Cristo que están en Colosas. Que la gracia y la paz de Dios, nuestro Padre, y del Señor Jesucristo sean con ustedes. Siempre que oramos por ustedes, damos gracias a Dios, el Padre nuestro, Señor Jesucristo. Pues hemos recibido noticias de la fe de ustedes en Cristo Jesús, y el amor que tienen por todos los santos, a causa de la esperanza que en los cielos les está reservada. Ustedes ya han sido de esto por el Evangelio, que es la palabra de verdad, y que ha llegado a ustedes, así como a todo el mundo, y que desde el día que ustedes la escucharon y la comprendieron claramente y conocieron la gracia de Dios, crece en ustedes y produce un fruto. Esto lo aprendieron por medio de Epáfras, nuestro consiervo amado, que es un fiel ministro de Cristo para ustedes, quien también nos ha hablado del amor que ustedes tienen en el Espíritu.
For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from His glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued you from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
Por eso nosotros, desde el día que lo supimos, no cesamos de orar por ustedes y de pedir que Dios los llene del conocimiento de su voluntad en toda sabiduría e inteligencia espiritual, para que vivan como es digno del Señor, es decir, siempre haciendo todo lo que a Él le agrada, produciendo los frutos de toda buena obra y creciendo en el conocimiento de Dios. Todo esto fortalecidos con todo poder, paciencia. Así, con gran gozo, darán las gracias al Padre que nos hizo aptos para participar de la herencia de los santos en luz y que también nos ha librado del poder de la oscuridad y nos han trasladado al reino de su amado Hijo, en quien tenemos redención por su sangre, el perdón de los pecados.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Palabra del Señor.
And now let us pray for Pastor Nelson. Lord, today, Pastor Nelson breaks the bread of the word. And may we be fed, and may the Spirit open our hearts and our ears, and may your body be strengthened by this message. In Jesus' name, amen.
I come to World Communion Sunday today with a heart full of gratitude. I'm grateful for the church global, where there's both vitality and suffering. And I'm grateful for the church local, this body, where people give generously of time and talent and resources to strengthen the body of Christ. I'm grateful for our global connections as a congregation, connections that come through persons who've immigrated to this country or through individuals who work in church or mission agencies elsewhere in the world, for people who have had the privilege of travel and service in other parts of the globe. And I'm also grateful for the mystical union we have in the body of Christ through the Eucharist, with God's people in Jesus Christ around the world. This week, Ellen and I had the privilege of hosting this man in our home for a meal. This is Carlos Martinez Garcia, who is moderator of the 13 Mennonite congregations in Mexico City. Carlos is a journalist. He's a historian. He writes a column in a secular newspaper. He's a teacher, and he's a pastor of one of the Mennonite congregations. He's in Elkhart working on a book for a few weeks about the beginnings of the Anabaptist movement in the 16th century, and he's writing that from a Latin American perspective. It'd be the first time, I think, there's been a significant work done on that. Carlos lives in Mexico City, which is one of the biggest cities of the world. This is a picture of it. You see this vast valley with 21 million people surrounded by a ring of mountains, one of which is the wonderful volcano Popocatépetl, which sometimes spews smoke dramatically over the city. There are Christians in southern Mexico, Carlos says, who have had experience of persecution and hardship that would have been familiar to many early Christians and certainly to the 16th century Anabaptists. These small congregations in southern Mexico, Carlos says, are evangelical house churches, or at least they started that way, and they often had to meet in secret because church members feared for their jobs or even for their lives if it became known that they were removing themselves from the dominant religious structure of that area. And it's a religious structure that includes the Catholic Church, but often is a mix of theology and worship convictions, beliefs, mixed with native and pagan religions in a way that those who follow Jesus find objectionable. And Carlos said there are some 50,000 Christians, and these are not Mennonites in this case, these are evangelical Christians who have needed to move out of their home areas and settle elsewhere because the harassment was so severe. And he said they are Anabaptist and they don't know it. And he's quite serious about that because these are people who are rethinking what it means to be church. And Carlos emphasized that the Catholic Church that appears at places in Mexico is a pretty different thing from what we know locally here as a Catholic Church. I took this picture a few years ago when I was in Guatemala, right after I left my last employment. I did language study there. And this is an example of the kind of mix of religion that happens in this part of the world. And my language teacher took me on a hike up to the top of a mountain. And there's a place where there are rituals of sacrifice done to the mountain gods. And so there's a priest here bringing a sacrifice of, I'm not sure what it is, candles or something, to the altar. And it seems just very significant that behind him is a cross. It's almost as if he's leaving the cross behind. He's leaving that behind, and he's going for worship to a God that is not the God that we know through Jesus Christ. It's this kind of mix of religion and that the Christians in Mexico are dealing with. And when I hear that explanation of the mix of religion, then I begin to think of critically, what is the mix of religion that happens in my society? How do I get pulled into a blend of other religions? And I came across this image this week, which to me seems to represent some of the kind of mixing of religion that is right in this election year, I think very common in this society, where you have this kind of blend of violence and the gospel and a nationalism that is more than just pride in nation, but it's kind of America first, whatever that needs to be. I believe this is a mix of religion that happens in our society. And so we learn about our own culture and our own mission context when we see what Christians in other parts of the world are struggling with. Then we begin to think critically about our own place of following Jesus. When we encounter Christians from other parts of the world, they challenge us. What a week this has been in Colombia. Have you followed the news? This has been the week where there was a peace accord signed between the Colombian government and the FARC guerrillas, the Frente Armada, the armed front of revolutionaries in Colombia. This is a war that has been going on for 50 years. 50 years of warfare. So there's people not much younger than me who have known nothing but warfare in that country. And Mennonites in Colombia and other Christians have been very much involved in teaching peace and in bringing the good news of Jesus' reconciliation into this situation, working with refugees in Bogota who come in from the countryside where the warfare happens. A leading voice in this peacemaking effort in Colombia has been this woman, a Mennonite named Jenny Neme, who directs in Bogota an organization called Justa Paz, Just Peace. That means peace with justice. And This and Justapaz documents human rights abuses that happen in the war and try to get these into the sight of the world. Justapaz advocates for conscientious objector status in a country where military service is obligatory. And Justapaz has been a voice urging the government to negotiate with the rebels and bring an end to this warfare that has claimed 200,000 lives in a small country. Everybody in Colombia knows somebody who's been affected by this violence. And on Monday, they signed the peace accords. And we need to pray that that peace holds and that the end of this conflict can really be at hand. And the witness of these Christians in courageous Christians in Colombia then reaches elsewhere in the world. And I think of this man in South Korea. Many of us have followed the story of Sangmin Lee, who I think when he was about 20 first resisted military service. He was a Christian in another denominational group in South Korea. And he read his Bible and he said, Jesus calls us to peace and to love our enemies. Why aren't Christians doing this? And he couldn't get an answer. And then he found a small group of Mennonites. He became Mennonite and he refused to go into the military service in South Korea. He was put on trial and given an 18-month sentence. He not long ago finished his 18-month prison sentence for his stance for Jesus, and he now faces a difficult future because in his country, if you refuse military service, you are pretty universally despised. He's trained as an early childhood educator. That's his professional training. He's working as a bicycle mechanic because it's impossible for him to work and may continue to be impossible for him to be employed in the education field. This has been costly for him. And he said the relationship with his parents has been the most difficult because they expressed anger and harsh words. But he said they've come to better understand why I do this, and it's because I follow Jesus. Sangmin Lee inspires me, and the gospel is growing and bearing fruit in South Korea. Most of us are aware that the center of weight, the center of gravity of the global church has shifted toward the south, toward the equator and south. That's where the church has been growing in Africa and Latin America and Asia. The church in the north also is changing. We're moving into a new era of how we function in society. Anyone who visits England quickly notices that many of the beautiful church buildings that are all over that country that a century ago would have been much fuller now are empty or they are closed. Some of these beautiful structures now are what the British call festival churches. They're open only on Christmas and Easter and other special occasions. But there's a phenomenon happening in England. I read this week that for every church, traditional church that closes in England, there are three Pentecostal churches that open. So this is just a major reconfiguration of the look of Christianity. And many of these persons, many of these new churches in the UK are started by immigrant groups, first or second generation immigrant population. So what you have now is England, which was a primary sending nation for missionaries 200 years ago, 100 years ago. Now England, in effect, is receiving missionaries back from other parts of the world. And the same thing is happening in North America. We will be evangelized and are being evangelized by persons from other countries, from other languages and other cultures, who come into what is increasingly a pagan society here and share the good news of Jesus. There is exponential growth of the church in China, enormous growth of the church in China. Today, there are more Christians in China than members of the Communist Party. And within a decade, scholars believe China will be the largest Christian population nation in the world. It'll be bigger than any other place of the church. If you're a part of the church that is approved by the state, and there are state-approved churches, the so-called three self-churches, you might be reasonably secure in China. But there are many congregations that don't want to be allied that way, aligned with a state that has its own demands and strictures. And so these independent congregations often either meet in secret or they have to meet below radar. I spoke yesterday with Matt Amstutz, who just came back from 3 years in China. And he said the government knows where these churches are. They aren't exactly secret, but they have to remain invisible in society. They can't have any symbols of their church. They can't hand out literature. They get in trouble if they evangelize. There are people in prison, and the gospel is growing and bearing fruit tremendously in that difficult situation. In Nigeria, there's been a catastrophic war in the last decade, and more Anabaptists have died in Nigeria in the last 10 years than died in all of the persecution of the 16th century. There have been thousands of Church of the Brethren people who have died. And this, in some way, I think is kind of tribal warfare. But the point here is that the Anabaptists in this situation are not taking up arms, and they are loving their enemies, and they are refusing to become part of the militias. The 200-some schoolgirls who were abducted, what was it, 2 years ago, more than half of those were Church of the Brethren girls. This is part of our faith family. And these people have refused to hate, and they are a testimony both to the evangelism mandate of the gospel and the peacemaking. And I would say if there's any particular unique calling for Anabaptists in the world, it's to hold these two together, to not do one or the other, but to hold together the passion for sharing the gospel and inviting others to know Jesus and the way of peace. On Thursday of this week, I expect to leave for 2 weeks in Thailand and in Indonesia for my work with Mennonite World Conference. In Indonesia, I expect to visit a congregation that will host the next Mennonite World Conference Assembly in 2021. It's a church building that seats 10,000 people. This is a different world than we know. A few years ago, officials in a town in Indonesia where there's a Mennonite church pastored by Adi Walujo, the town officials closed up the Mennonite church. They just locked it up, said, you can no longer worship here. Indonesia, you might know, is the largest Muslim country in the world. There are more Muslims in Indonesia than anywhere else. And so Pastor Adi, who's been a member of the Executive Committee of Mennonite World Conference, said, well, okay, congregation, we'll just stand outside our church and we'll worship there. So the Mennonites at this congregation worshiped right outside their building, rain or shine, hot or cold, for 6 months. They just gathered there and worshiped outside. And eventually the neighbors said, why are these people worshiping outside? Their Muslim neighbors said, why are these people worshiping outside? So their Muslim friends went to the town authorities and said, these are good people. These are our neighbors. These are our friends. Open their church. And Addie said, it was wonderful for evangelism. All that, it gave us all kinds of attention, and our church grew. When I visit Thailand briefly, this week, I expect to meet with a congregation, or rather a church group, a small denomination, that is interested in joining Mennonite World Conference. Mennonite World Conference is not one big church. It's 100 different Anabaptist denominations in 60 countries. And so we are not one church in the sense structurally. We're one church in Jesus Christ. But this group is interested in joining. So I and another representative of the World Conference will be meeting the leaders and talking about what this might mean. Remember this. If you're tempted to get discouraged about the conflicts and struggles of the church in North America, remember that the global church is vibrant and growing and bearing fruit. And the church is vibrant locally. I'm grateful to in this congregation for every person who contributes time, energy, and money and prayer. And later, in a few minutes, we're going to have a time of just thanksgiving for everyone who's been involved in this. I thank God for the church global, and I thank God for the church local. God, open our eyes and our ears to learn from our sisters and brothers around the world. Amen.
Turn in your hymnals to number 323, and let's please stand in spirit or in body. number 478. Please stand with me. 478, sent forth by God's blessing.
We invite you to continue table fellowship downstairs. We can't quite have potluck, but there are finger foods to share with each other in the fellowship hall. And locations for Sunday school classes for different ages are listed in your bulletin. Now receive the benediction. As Christ breaks bread and bids us share, each proud division ends. The love that made us makes us one, and strangers now are friends. Amen.